We'll come from Exodus 17. Exodus 17, we'll read verses 8 through 16. Now hear God's word. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands on either side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Thus far the reading of God's word. In this political season, with the election only a few weeks ahead of us, certainly banners and signs have become an inescapable part of the landscape. You drive up and down the street, any street in Pittsburgh, and you are bound to see literally dozens of political signs and banners with the names of candidates emblazoned on them. And we almost start to ignore them. There's so many of them around and on every street and on every corner. These are people's attempts to express their loyalty and support for a candidate of their choice. But with that imagery all around us today, we're going to look at Moses' declaration in Exodus 17. His declaration that the Lord is my banner, and try to understand exactly what that metaphor means and how it applies to the Christian life. This is really one of the least known names for God in the Old Testament. It appears only one time and only in this text, in Exodus 17. And although it's not a title or name that's often used, being found only here, it's still a very powerful and very unique expression of God's character, particularly in relation to his people, in our relationship to him in the covenant of grace. And as we'll see briefly this afternoon, this name of God is fulfilled very powerfully in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name is Adonai Nissi, or Jehovah Nissi, as it's usually transliterated. It means "the Lord is my banner." It's a name that Moses gave to the altar that he built after the battle with the Amalekites. But it is, of course, an enduring title of God, and it also captures something of the relationship between God and his people. So in three simple points this afternoon, we'll think about this name, "the Lord is my banner." We'll think about first the meaning of the name and the metaphor behind it. Secondly, its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, a few points of its present application. First of all, the meaning of the name. As I mentioned, Adonai Nissi, or Jehovah Nissi, as it's usually transliterated, means "the Lord is my banner." Now, the proper name for God is used in this title, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh in Hebrew. That is the covenantal proper name for God that he revealed to Moses at the burning bush early in Exodus. And then it's brought into compound form with another Hebrew word, as many of the Old Testament titles for God are, usually a compound name that captures something of his character for something of his relationship to his people. You could do a whole systematic theology just by studying the names for God in the Bible. It's a magnificent study. But this one in particular, the second word of the name is Nisi. It comes from the Hebrew root Nes, which if you transliterated would be N-E-S-S, Nes. But then it has the possessive on the end. Nisi means my banner. Nes is a banner. Nisi is my banner. Now, a little bit about this word and how it's used in the Bible. Nes, as I said, banner. Not just a banner, however. It's something that is raised on high to get people's attention. It's something that an army might use in battle. It's something that the tribes of Israel used in their marching order when they came out of Egypt in the Exodus. Something that they might be a symbol of national pride. It can be in the Bible simply like a flagpole, simply just a pole. Or it can be a pole with a banner on it, or some such thing, some kind of flag, something like that. A standard, something that might be raised in a high place, meant to communicate some kind of important information, used most often in the Israelite camp to rally the people, right? To rally the troops in time of war, just before a battle or on some important occasion. Most often in combat, most often that flag or that banner became a symbol of their fighting spirit. And that's the way it is today, if you think about it, too. Armies have their banners. You'll find this in military settings. National flags. Think about a national flag, Old Glory flying, right? It's a symbol of solidarity, of pride, of patriotism. All of those things, especially in wartime. Now, in Exodus 17, the context is Israel's battle against Amalek, or the Amalekites. And God obviously delivered a miraculous victory. And the victory was brought about this way. As long as Moses held the rod of God in his hand, as long as he held up his hand, Israel prevailed against Amalek. But whenever he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed against Israel. So he had to raise his hand and the rod of God in his hand, up on the hilltop, over top of the battle. So Moses raising his hand with the rod of God in his hand very likely is the reference to this whole Nesi or banner business going on in the text. That to have that rod raised in the air would fit the description of what this Hebrew word is all about, a pole or a banner or a standard or something raised in the air as a signal, as a sign. And Moses holding the rod of God fit that description. It's a fascinating text if you read some of the church fathers exegete this text, particularly Origen, who was well known for his allegorization of things. And he had mentioned, it's intriguing at least to think about, Moses holding the rod in his hand, which might form something like a cross with his arm up and the rod across. And then Joshua fighting the battle down in the valley. Joshua's name and Jesus' name, of course, are the same name. So with the cross being raised and Joshua fighting the battle and being victorious, these are things that Origen sort of talked about in his commentary, perhaps overstepping the bounds of the strict intention of the text, as Origen was wont to do. But nevertheless, that's where this business comes from. This God is my banner, and that's the banner of our text. God gave this miraculous victory. He made it clear that this was his doing in our text. And the point of this name, Adonai Nisi or Jehovah Nisi, is that God himself was their banner. Everything that a banner would symbolize to an army, God himself was that to his people. That is to say, he was their rallying point. He was their point of solidarity. He was that thing to which they all looked, that thing that gathered them and energized them. While an army's banner might symbolize their national pride and military strength, the Lord himself was the pride and the strength of his people. Think about that. And this is the whole basis of the metaphor. A waving banner, such as you might see, is a point of focus and an object of hope for an army in battle. Think about some of those iconic images that we know from generations past, like the Marines raising the flag on Mount Suribachi on Iwo Jima in World War II. That picture, you can picture it in your mind right now, can't you? And it's all focused on that flag. It's that flag, that banner, that is the most stirring point of that picture, raising that flag on that mountain. And more recently, think about the September 11th attacks when the World Trade Centers collapsed. Think about that picture of that fireman standing on that rubble, raising an American flag above that rubble. That's a stirring image, right? That's meant to stir the emotions and the patriotisms and the passions of the people as Americans. But to the covenant people, God himself is their banner, their point of focus, their object of hope. A banner is meant to do that, to stir the passions of loyalty and service. With God as our banner, himself, our loyalty and our service belong only to him. That is what the name Jehovah Nissi means. The Lord is my banner. Instead of winning this great victory and planting his own flag and proclaiming his own victory, Moses built an altar to worship and give the glory to God and to say, God is my banner. And the Lord is still the banner of his people. He is our banner. That is to say, he is our point of focus, our object of hope, and the one to whom our loyalty and our service belong. Now, there's a very particular way in which this whole banner symbolism applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to begin to demonstrate that, let's look at Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11, verse 10. Isaiah 11, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. He'll stand as a banner to the people. Now, Isaiah, who is arguably the most Christological of all the prophets, so Christ-centered, of course all of them are, but Isaiah so just powerfully and consistently so, he picks up on this imagery, no doubt going back to Exodus 17, and he pictures, he personifies Christ as being the banner of the people. This root of Jesse, the banner of God, is Christ. Now remember, a banner is a rallying point, a common cause, a common hope, a point of solidarity for the people. In Exodus 17, God revealed himself as the banner of his people. Now in Isaiah chapter 11, the Christ is seen as the banner to the Gentiles, to all the nations. All of them have one banner to look to for hope. Meaning that Christ will call them, will rally them, will be a common point of hope to them. So the whole extension of the gospel into the Gentile world is prophesied using this same metaphor, the same imagery of one flag, one banner being raised, and Christ being that one banner, and then nations sort of gathering around him as their point of focus. Now, we see this clearly fulfilled in the New Testament, where Christ often pictured his death and his resurrection as him being lifted up. You know that imagery, you know that language in the New Testament of Christ as a lifting of himself up by which men would be drawn to him. Now, there's some great connections here. Just bear with me. We're going to look at about three different passages fairly quickly when it comes to this. The first text is, let's see if I have it here, Numbers 21. and you can turn here if you want to, or simply write down these passages. But Numbers 21 is just the passage where Moses made the bronze serpent and lifted it up in the sight of the people. What had happened was, because of their idolatry, these vipers, these serpents that represented the vengeance, the justice of God, were destroying, taking a toll on the people. And in this particular text, God commanded him to make a, verse 8, Numbers 21, 8. The Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Now, set it on a pole. You have to realize that that word pole in this text is the word nes, the same word that is banner in Exodus 17. He said, take a fiery serpent, set it on a banner, that same word, raise it up so that people can see it and they will be saved from the fiery serpents when they do see it. Now, why is that so important? Well, in John chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus compared himself directly to the lifting up of this banner, referenced here in Numbers 21. John 3:14, Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So he needs to be lifted up just like that banner that Moses lifted up in Numbers 21. He needs to be lifted up, comparing himself to that banner, just as Isaiah does, compares him to a banner. And the result is recorded in John chapter 12, John 12, 32, where he says, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. There's that same language, the same imagery. Christ like a banner being lifted up, drawing all people to himself. Think Isaiah chapter 11. That's exactly what he said about this whole banner business. And that's what Jesus seized upon. I need to be lifted up like the banner in Numbers 21. And when I am, I will draw all peoples to myself. But all of that imagery begins, that whole trail of imagery begins in Exodus 17 with that divine name, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. And that whole name, that whole metaphor, that whole image will come fully and finally to be revealed and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ died and rose again and ascended to his throne, that prophecy was fulfilled. He was lifted up in the sight of the nations. He was revealed. He was, in a sense, unfurled like a banner. A banner that draws men to himself and rallies his people around him. He has become that banner to the nations, having been lifted up. His gospel has gone out into the world. Now let's hasten to a few points of conclusion here before we come to the Lord's table. And three very brief points to think about this afternoon. Again, this whole name, the Lord is my banner and Christ being our banner, it all hinges upon what that metaphor means, that metaphor of a banner. Well, let me suggest that based on what we've heard today and seen today, that Christ is to be, first of all, number one, our point of focus. Number two, our point of solidarity. And number three, the object of our witness. Very briefly, first of all, the point of our focus. If Christ is lifted up and revealed and unfurled like a banner before us, then the continuing point of application to us is that he is to be that point of focus for us, the sole object of our hope, like an army in the midst of a battle being inspired by looking at its banner waving. He is to hold our attention and our loyalty and our service. If a simple banner can stir up the pride and service of a people or a nation, then how much more should the Savior of our souls stir up our loyalty and our hope and our sacrifice for him and his cause? So first of all, the point of our focus is the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, our point of solidarity. No person has their own flag. A flag is a symbol of solidarity, isn't it? Now think of a family banner, a family ensign, a family solidarity. Think of a national flag. Think of the flag of an army. It's never an individual thing. It's always a point of solidarity between people. That's what a banner or a flag is all about. solidarity in a cause or a purpose. Now, although Moses called his altar, "The Lord is my banner," he truly is our banner. His glory is a common cause. His grace is our bond of solidarity. So Jehovah Nissi is a name that calls us to reciprocal love within the church and mutual service as a church. We are to be united in one purpose around one banner, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, secondly, Christ is to be our point of solidarity. And thirdly, he is to be the object of our witness. A banner is meant to send a signal, isn't it? It's meant to be seen. It's meant to be visible. You put it on the highest place possible. Moses in Exodus 17 stood on top of the hill with the rod of God in his hand. When someone puts a flagpole up, they put it in the most prominent place they can. It's meant to be seen. It's meant to be a signal. No one has a banner or a flag and folds it up and hides it under their bed. No one puts it in a drawer. Just as a man, to use other familiar imagery from the Bible, does not light a lamp and put it under a basket. No one has a banner and puts it in a drawer. A banner is meant to be raised, to be seen, to be noticed. So if Christ is our banner, then it is our purpose to make him noticed, to make him known, that others might see him, to unfurl that banner before men, and to show forth Christ in our words and in our lives as the one true God, the one risen Savior, who is truly our banner, who is our point of hope and focus and solidarity. So in this political season where you see banners and signs everywhere, if Tom Reed has caught up to you, there might even be one in your front yard. When men are planting all kinds of banners everywhere to show their loyalty and their convictions, whatever they may be, let us all remember that the Lord himself is our banner, and our loyalty to him must not be surpassed by any other conviction. Show the world that Christ is your banner by living as his witness and by living for his glory. And so as we come to the Lord's table this afternoon, we affirm these things, that the Lord is a banner to us, and he is to us everything that a banner can symbolize. He is a point of focus, a point of solidarity, and the object of our witness. Let's pray.